Father, we are grateful for the day we've had thus far from the prayer meeting all the way through the morning service and our fellowship at lunchtime. And now here again to sing praises to thy name and to open thy word and read from it once again. Be with us and encourage us in the text that we shall read. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the phrase, the cancel culture, has really come about recently. And I would like to read a passage in Acts that shows that this was going on some 2,000 years ago. We're going to read from Acts chapter 6 about Stephen and about the Grecians and the Hebrews, how they are, that there was trouble, but they took care of it in a very godly manner. And then how the synagogue, the Cyrenians and Libertines, they wanted to cancel Stephen. But before we do that, there was a passage that Brother Dave read from in Ephesians this morning, and there was a few verses that just spoke exactly to what was going on. In Ephesians 4, 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So I think this is a key thing to understand, is that due to the ignorance of what God wants, there are so many people who are living lives and they're wondering why things are going wrong for them, why society is such a wreck. And they have created in their minds their imagination of what God wants. And really, it's what they want, and then they just ascribe God to it. Okay? And then, if we jump down to in Ephesians 4:20, as Brother Dave had kept reading, but ye have not so learned of Christ. And so this is important for us to understand, is that we can't just make up imaginations and say, oh, this is how I talk to God. This is how I feel. Really, we're comparing everything to Christ and how he spoke to God and how he taught us. So here in Paul in Ephesians, but ye have not so learned. And then I'll just jump down to 31 and 32. Letting all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. These are memory verses that we should have, because it's important for us to have it firm on our mind when tough times come and when conflicts are. So let's go to Acts chapter 6, and I'm going to read in full, and then I might paraphrase some. Acts chapter 6, and in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in their daily ministration. So there were the Jewish Jews, if you would, and the Gentile Jews, we'll just call them Gentiles, the Grecians, which were still Jewish, and all of them had turned to Christ. But it turned out that there was trouble, in that the Grecian widows were not being taken care of to the same level as the Hebrew widows. And that was a trouble, because there wasn't a social security net as we have it, and I'm not even sure we really have that now, because there are still many who, because of no fault of their own, don't have the social support system that they need. And Scripture talks about those that are widows, those that are orphans, those that need extra help. And it turned out that the Grecian widows were not being taken care of as well as they should have. And so it says there was murmuring, there was a discussion. This was brought to everybody's attention, right? Murmuring is usually a negative connotation. And there was a negative thing going on. But what do you do about that when negative things go on? Especially in the body of Christ, right? And here it is. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word and serve tables. Where For, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So once again, we're not talking really about spiritual needs as much as physical needs that these widows had. And so when you talk about serving tables, there are other places in Scripture that use those same words. And when Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers, it's kind of the same thought that, you know, it's not necessarily food tables, but places where the widows can go to receive. It's like kind of going to the trustees, right? Go to receive what would be needful for them. And the disciple apostle said, let's appoint seven men. And they need to be honest men. They need to be good men full of the Holy Spirit. And they, of course, will still give ourselves to continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And in verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude. That's a key phrase. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. You know, that's a hard thing to do, right? And you'd like to say, well, you know, the apostles were so wise. But I don't think that was it. Because just a few verses later, we have where the libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, they're hearing Stephen, a man full of faith, and they're not pleased, right? And so this goes back to Ephesians and the passage that Brother David read from this morning, where let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Here you have a body of believers. The church had grown. They were organized. They were seeing the flock grow. The word was being preached. There was a little bit of trouble. And as they came together, men full of the Holy Spirit were appointed, and the saying pleased the multitude, and they did choose seven men. If you read all these names from Stephen and Philip and Procreus and Nicar, all of these are Greek names, and it just turned out that the Greeks needed to help. They were in the perfect position to take care of their Greek widows, and whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. You can see what happens when this goes back to the passages where, by the love that you show, they will know ye are my disciples. And you can see here that this group of Christians came together, and even though it was maybe defined as murmuring at the beginning, quickly it turned from murmuring to, we all agreed this was a good path forward, and off we go. And it was good. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. You know, right there, that's an important part of Scripture. Acts 6:7, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So often we have that, because this was a, you might say, a social death sentence, right? We have other places in the Scriptures where the parents of the man that was healed, that was blind, right? Blind from birth. You know, is this your son? Well, yeah, it's our son, but we don't know what happened. And they were afraid to be kicked out of the synagogue. They didn't want that to happen. And now you have here, because of the power, because of the love of the brethren being shown forth, because they were dealing with issues that needed to be dealt with, but in a godly manner that was not full of bitterness and wrath, but was full of love and grace, that even the priests, a great company of priests, joined the faith. Then we continue. So here's the canceling, the beginning of the canceling of Stephen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. What's wrong with that? Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. But they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So now this is another key verse for our meditation this afternoon. They could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. When we are speaking, when it's our time, right? And a lot of times we're together and we're speaking, and even amongst ourselves, we can get in trouble. We're not saying it the right way or not hearing it the right way, and it can be taken wrong. But when you're talking to unbelievers, when you're talking to people that are against the Word of God and against everything that God stands for, it's very important to, going back to Ephesians, having the Word of God, being taught by Christ, being taught by his Word, having it in our hearts so that we might be able to, God might be able to bring that to our remembrance in the times of need. And here, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke. So what did they do? Well, if you can't make a good argument, they basically grab some people that would just tell lies, right? If you can't make a good argument to uphold your argument, if what you think is really crumbling when logic and grace is presented to you, but you really want to stick to your guns and you just can't be wrong, what do you do? They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came to Stephen and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses that said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered us." You know, these same accusations in Matthew, these were the same accusations that they brought against Jesus, right? Back before when he was being railroaded through to be crucified, you know, they said they had to give false witnesses. Now, did he really say? He did say this, but this is what illogical, emotional people that are blinded by Satan will do. Without any forethought, you know, whether they know it or not, they're plotting murder. Because that's the end of Stephen. Right? They stoned him because he was telling the truth. And this, we can't stop other people from doing what they do, right? But what we need to be very aware of is that how we behave ourselves here amongst ourselves, at our family, in public, at work, at school, needs to be above reproach. It needs to be always seasoned with love. It needs to be such that it's not that you can't say truth, but you have to say it in a way that is not, how can I say this right? That you're truly loving the people and not speaking it out of disdain or reproach, but really trying to educate. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of the angel. You know, this morning in Bible class, we learned about Eli and his sons. And Eli's sons were profaning the priesthood. And Eli was called to account because of it. And it was said that, "You're judged. You stand in judgment. Your sons are going to die. Why, Eli, why are you preferring your sons over God?" And then Michael brought out that the Ninevites had kind of the same chance. They had Jonah come to them. And even though he didn't want to, he preached that, 40 days and you're done. Well, the Ninevites, what did they do with that? They weren't the priests of God. But they humbled themselves, and from the top to the bottom, they put on sackcloth and ashes and repented, and they gained a generation or two, I'm not quite sure how many, more years before they were actually destroyed. But because they humbled themselves, they were saved. Eli and Hophni and Phinehas' sons had this shot over the bow, had this, if you don't understand what's going on, here's what's going on, and you're judged. They could have repented, but they didn't. In our lives, you know, a lot of times I think we feel that same shot over the bow, and we might see that either we're not behaving right with our coworkers or our family or our job or our brother or our sister, and we really need to sit back, and if there's stress in our lives and there's bitterness building up, we need to really think, where is that coming from? And take that opportunity to humble ourselves and to repent. May God bless his word.